Don't forget that baby shower next Sunday afternoon at 4:30. Don't forget our Bible school every night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7. Bring a carload with you, a carload of kids. You know your neighbor's kids. You can get them. Sister, brothers, cousins, aunts, their children. Call them. Say, hey, won't you let me take kids to Bible school? You might be surprised what God does. We're praying for our kids at Bible school. We're praying for lots of things. I want you to help us pray. We got a lot of teenagers that want to go when I go preach places and stuff. And they would give me nice. We had a real nice van. Y'all could pray about that. Maybe somebody listening somewhere, Lord might put it on your heart. To get us a van. You never know. Pray about that. It'd be really a real blessing to our church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 36. I'm going to continue a little bit. Not the same thought, but the same line of thinking about the Lord coming back in the end times tonight. For ye have needed patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. People say, well, if the Lord tarries, he's coming. The Bible said he will not tarry. He's already got it marked on the calendar when he's coming. I would have preached tonight for a few minutes on the subject, why Jesus must return. 218 times in the Bible, we mention the coming of the Lord. It's not an option, it's an absolute must. We're in the Bible, when the Lord comes, it means two things. The rapture of the living saints, the resurrection of the dead saints' body, and the Scripture demands his return. All the stuff you see on TV now, everything is coming down pointing to the coming of the Lord. All these mythologies, ancient discoveries. On TV they have these things called how the world was made and how this was made and ancient alien things. There is no doubt in my mind. It's coming down. We've been here before. Matter of fact, did you know that the spirit out there in the world tonight, if it is changing from we all come from nothing, an evolution, to somebody out there put us here. But they won't say it's God. They'll say some other civilization or some kind of other being from another galaxy placed us here and is observing us. And they're saying that the evidence of that is everywhere in the world. There's some things all over this world they cannot explain. I don't really care nothing about leaving the country unless I felt like the Lord wanted me to. But I really would like to see some of those places that they show on those ancient alien things where they have big solid blocks of granite as far as from here, that wall over there, almost as big as a train car, and they're stacked up perfect. I mean, you couldn't put your fingers in between them. On top of mountains like Mount Mitchell or something. How did them things get up there? There's no way in the world people could have put them things there. Even the Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid, they say, if you listen to the scientist explanation of it, it took 100,000 slaves 20 years to build the Great Pyramid. They said if that was true, they would have had to set one of those big, gigantic, huge granite blocks, far as near that wall, every 20 seconds or so, night and day, 24 hours a day. There's enough granite and rock inside the Great Pyramid to build several Empire State Buildings. Who did that? Why did they do that? It's absolute perfect north, south, east, and west, setting right smack. If you put all the land in the world out flat, the Great Pyramid is right in the center of all the landmass of the world. That's a weird thing. And inside that thing, you know, the capstone is missing, the chief cornerstone, they call it. And you'd think if they did all that, they'd have put that top cornerstone on it. That's I don't have the answer to all of that. Nobody else does either that I know of. But I know one thing. There has been somebody here before. There has been other stronger beings. The Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days. Now you take a man as tall as this building here, his head touch that ceiling right there, with hands that big around, he could move a pretty big rock. And some they found footprints. They have found skeletons. Look it up. You like to play on your computer all the time. Look up giants, ancient giants skeleton. They found them. You say, well, why don't they show that to us? Because it contradicts evolution. Evolution teaches we started out little and we got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. In the Bible, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and their offspring was a super race of giants, and they were so wicked and evil, that's why God drowned out that generation in the flood. And they were all, the Bible said, if you'll read Genesis 6, it said also after that. So the giants lived on, the remnant of them, their seed, even after the flood. I love to read about them. Read your Old Testament sometime and mark every time it says giants and giants and in there. I'm telling you about it. That's some weird kind of characters. Now tonight, I want to say just a few things about how we know that the Lord must come. And I was divided up just into a little lesson here. Won't be long at all. First, tonight, we know the Lord must come to fulfill the prophecies of the Scripture. There's a lot of Scripture in the Bible prophesying Jesus would come. And He does it to fulfill the Scripture. If you're on a long trip, the other night we drove all the way from Kissimmee, Florida, back to here. And on a long trip like that, I'm starting out in Kissimmee, and I know that I'm headed toward Jacksonville. You don't see no signs that say Jacksonville for a long, long time. And then finally, when you get on Interstate 95, you'll start seeing a sign that says Jacksonville. The closer you get to it, Jacksonville, then Savannah, or Brunswick, then Savannah, and then on up in Columbia, and then up toward Charlotte. If you're coming up Interstate 77, you start seeing signs with more frequency than you would have if you don't. Some of that stuff I was telling y'all this morning, folks, we're living in a time like this world has never, ever seen. It's like it's coming, it's like it's going like this. Everything just coming down to a point. And we're getting squeezed from every direction. And you know, God has blessed our nation. He blesses nations by their obedience to Him and by their treatment of Israel. We have become a society of wicked, rebellious people. We have turned our back on God, and God has blessed us with blessing. We have forgotten that the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. We have stubbornly set our course that we're going to do what we want to do. It don't matter what the Bible said. It don't matter what God said. We're going to do what we're going to do. There was another nation that did that in the Bible, and God stepped in and judged it. And that's exactly what's going to happen to us. We have determined to live as we please, and brother, not as God has commanded us. Amen. Lady, every preacher in America, we ought to be preaching like heaven's at our head, hell's at our feet, and the devil's coming in the back door, brother. He's within choking distance. I'm telling you, we're living in a time like never, ever, ever before. Who would have believed that we're having children, people getting out of high school that can't even read their diplomas, people who've never been to church. Somebody said, there's a man here this morning said, never been to church. Come on a bus here this morning. People who know absolutely nothing about God. You go out and witness to young people, know absolutely nothing. We talked to a guy over on the side of the interstate the other day on bus route, not yesterday, but last Saturday when he was on bus route, and we stopped and talked to him. He was a boy, I don't guess he's 20-something years old, and he stood up there like this. He looked at me, and I think Jessica was with us, and Eva and some of y'all and Kelly, and we was in my Forerunner, and that guy stood up and he went around and he said, "Wow, man, like, hey, dude, can you get me in the back of that thing, man?" And I thought, "Lord have mercy, son." I mean, that poor guy, I'm telling you, I felt sorry for him. I said, "Jesus is coming back. Do you know that? The Lord's coming back." And he said, "Wow, dude, I'm down with that, man. Like, what's happened to all the church? What's happening with the church people?" I said, "The Lord's coming back." I thought, this guy's pride, man, his brain. I mean, his brain just flat, like a car run over it, or something like that. Oh, Corey was with us, and she was sitting there at the door, and he was saying, and he was looking in the door. Lord, I said, imagine trying to work with somebody like that. I mean, trying to get them straight. Can you imagine him getting straight? It's hard. Our generation is shot, brother. I know, like the man said, I hope Donald's the last Trump, and maybe the Lord's coming back real soon. Amen! I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's real. I did hear a preacher, old country preacher, say something on the radio today. And what's happening, I don't know about some of the stuff I'm getting ready to tell you. And I'm not politicking either. I ain't telling you who to vote for. You can vote for whoever you want to. One about as sorry as the other. And but they're all crooked, and Jesus is coming no matter who gets elected. Well, they say that Donald Trump actually gave money to Hillary Clinton's campaign the first time she ran. So, you know, that's how them kind of people are. Donate money now, she's the devil. And what they're saying is that whoever gets the Republican nomination, that they're going to be over here, and then Hillary's going to be over here, and Donald Trump's going to say, "Well, hey, I think I want to run independent," and all he's going to do is just pull off enough of these votes so she can get elected. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's what looks like could happen. And I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're all saying, "Well, maybe she'll be all right." And you know what I said, a preacher preached, I heard a Phil Kidd preached on, is that Ahab and Jezebel in the White House way back in the 90s. That was 20 years ago when the Clintons were in the White House the first time. She's already been in the White House 8 years, and it's illegal to be the president 3 times. This would be her 3rd term, and 4th if she gets reelected. And brother, you know what? Old Brother Kidd preached that message, and then somebody else preached the message I heard him talking about the other day, and he said Ahab destroyed all the things of Israel, and you know what he said? This is an old country preacher. He ain't got much education, but he's hooked up, right? You know what he said? Man, he said something that stuck in my heart. He said, "We think it's bad now." He said, "It wasn't Ahab that destroyed the prophets of Israel. It's Jezebel." And when he said that, brother, he said, "I felt God in that." And when he said that, I felt God. I thought, I don't know if that's the Lord or not, but I thought, "Lord, we think we've got it bad now. We may be really in for it in the next 4 or 5 years." Oh, when he said that, I thought, that's right. When she got in there, that's when the persecution came on God's people. The prophecy of the Scriptures that are being fulfilled. Lord have mercy, we had the morals of our country. A principal looked at our kids in the assembly. He pointed to 2 girls in junior high, and he said, "You see them 2 girls right there? They're both pregnant, and their kids will be starting school by the time they graduate." That's the day and time we're living in. And they're raising children. 750,000 teenage girls will give birth to illegitimate babies in the next few months, and 2 out of 3 of them will not graduate high school. 80% of them will raise kids by the welfare and become repeat of the next generation. It's a downslide from here on. When our country said no to God, when our country looked up and said, "We don't care what you say, in the 1960s, we're going to kill babies if we don't want them. It don't matter what you say," God said, bang. When our country looked up and said, "The Bible is out, prayer is out," God said, bang. When the country looked up the other day and said, "We don't care what you think, men can marry men, women can marry women," God said, "Fine." I'm telling you tonight, just sure as your name's what it is, just as sure as you're sitting on a pew tonight, the Lord take notice of that stuff And Jesus is coming, brother. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's coming, brother. He's coming, amen. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, brother, you can't expect our kids to do right when mama's got a different boyfriend every 2 weeks. And meet some yahoo she met on the internet and got him over and say, isn't he? And the kids know good and well what's going on. And daddy's drunk off somewhere out there in the world somewhere. And the kids ain't being taught right and sitting in front of that television all day long. We can't expect our generation to turn out right. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad day. They actually make hero. You girls in here tonight, you hear it preached all the time. You young men, I know people that get married and don't stay married 6 months. And all they do is fuss and fight and scream and holler and raise Cain all the time. Let me tell you, you'd be a lot better off to stay single and stay right with God than to let some idiot pull you out of church and take you out somewhere. And listen, if he won't go to church before you're married, he sure ain't going to go after you're married. Amen? That's right, buddy. Listen, you say, well, preacher, he's got a six-pack. Yeah, okay, well, he'll have the whole case in a few years after you're married a while and a big gut hanging out. Then what are you going to do with him? That's right. That's right. One girl said, but he's got them pearly whites. He said, yeah, and pretty soon he'll take them out and put them in a cup every night. Then what are you going to do with him? Amen. That's right, brother. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this evening. You hear me tonight. It is unreal. Watch this, parents. Watch this, parents. Kids, all you school kids, let me ask you some questions. Question number one. How many of you kids in here tonight know somebody at school or your friends who cut themselves? Would you raise your hand, please? Look at that. Every one of them. Bang, just like that. Now, if you'd asked that same question 20 years ago, nobody would raise their hand. I do not know one person in school. We had some dumb girls, and these dumb girls, they'd get them a boyfriend, and they'd sit around and take a pen and scratch their boyfriend's initials on their arm. I do remember that, doing that. I do remember that. I never did like nobody that good. I ain't gonna cut myself. I'm telling you, anybody's crazy. When somebody said, "Well, it just relieves stress," you're crazy. You know that, don't you? You're crazy. Listen, there's something wrong. If I cut myself and start bleeding, I believe that would cause me some stress. I don't like blood, especially when it's mine. Amen. Let me ask you another question, kids. How many of you kids know somebody or know of Slender Man? Would you raise your hand, please? Slender Man on the internet. Slender Man, all of them raise your hand again. Slender Man is a mythological character who lives in the great forest and a great wonderful thing, and he just appears every now and then out in the woods, and he's real tall and skinny. It's all over the internet. And the kids try to please him. Two 12-year-olds took one of their friends out in the country or out in the woods and murdered her, stabbed her to death. 12 years old. 12 years old. Who we got in here tonight that's 12? Anybody in here 12 years old? Anybody in here 12? I don't see. Y'all stand up back there. Stand up back there, brethren. These two girls right here are 12 years old. Can you imagine them two right there? Yes, I believe I can. That ruined that illustration. No, I can't. Can you imagine these two girls taking one of their friends? What if they took Brother John? No, seriously. I mean, really, y'all. Two girls. That's unthinkable. That's absolutely unthinkable. Thank y'all. Be seated. I mean, you'd think a hardened killer be hard to take a 12-year-old girl out, just stab her to death for no reason. And they did it. They did it to please Slender Man. You know what they thought? They thought that Slender Man would take them to live in his mansion if they pleased him. Look it up on the internet. Slender Man. Not telling you tonight. Hey, listen to me. Them girls thought Slender Man. Now, you know the devil's a counterfeit. The devil counterfeits the Lord. What does the Lord say? In my Father's house, many mansions. I go, prepare a place for you, will come and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. We have that promise. We have that promise of going to live in His mansion one day. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil tells these girls, saying, hey, if you'll kill somebody for me, I'll take you to live in my mansion. But the devil lied to them. They're going to jail. They'll be in juvenile court. And then, if they don't get saved, they'll wind up in hell while the devil laughs at them. Me and you don't have to kill nobody to get in that mansion. Somebody's already been killed. It was Jesus laid down His life as a sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice somebody else. It's already been done. That's the religion of do. Ours is the religion of done. Thank God tonight the sacrifice has already been made so I can get in that mansion one day. I'm going to tell you tonight, people, listen, this thing's coming down to the wire. It's going to heat up. And all the retail, these business, that magazine I told you this morning, this magazine I had this morning, it said by the end of 2016, that's 1 year and a few months, that they're going to start converting to that cashless society, cashless everywhere, less and less cash. I'm a rebel, brother. I pay everything in cash. I still pay my bills in cash. I still buy food with cash. I stop the store, cash. Only time I write a check is when I have to mail it off somewhere. There's just something in me about I don't like credit cards. I don't like them things. They scare me. I'm telling you tonight, brother, it's coming down. How many of you kids have? Kids, listen. How many of you kids have heard of or know somebody or know about Charlie? Would you raise your hand, please? Look at that. Bang. How many of you old timers over 30? See what I mean? This man's he's a midget. Don't pay no attention to it. Hey, they all know about Charlie. Charlie's all over the internet. I mentioned it somewhere preaching, and people went crazy. And it's where they take their pencils at school and stack them a certain way, crossways, and start chanting, Charlie, are you here? Charlie, are you here? And then the pencils start moving. That's cool. And answering their questions like, what should I do in life? And just junk like that. Just like a Ouija board. You say, well, that's silly, people. Listen, our kids are being taught to communicate with familiar spirits. That's what that is in the Bible. Demons. Demonic. The Scripture is being fulfilled. You want the Scripture for that? 1 Timothy chapter 4, where it said, in the latter time, some shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Right. That's right, buddy. That's right. Charlie, your foot. Charlie, go to hell. Charlie, go to hell. Tell him that! That's where he's going one of these days. Amen. Telling you something this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a scary, scary, scary time. Our problem ain't illegitimate kids, much it is illegitimate parents wanting to get up and go to church, serve God. Beyonce, you saw her on that video, showed it to you, Thrally. I have the interview of her, one of the most idolized, worshipped actresses, whatever she is, singer. In America, she gives her testimony and she said it was the first time, she said, I lifted up my hands like that and I felt something come into me. Well, what do you think about that? It wasn't the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost don't make you act like that on stage. Son, that was a demon just as sure as your name's what it is. We're seeing the signs of the end, people. We're seeing the signs of the end. I'll say a couple more things and I'll be through. You know why the Lord must return? To finish the program that He started. He started back there in the book of Acts, actually in John 17, depending on when you believe the church started. Actually, a lot of preachers believe, and I have a tendency to believe that too, when the Lord told them disciples, He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. They got the touch start of it right there. Then the Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost and got the body of Christ officially began in Acts chapter 2. And Jesus started the work of the church. Nobody in the Old Testament was a part of the church. Nobody in a part. They were Old Testament saints. They weren't even born again in the New Testament sense like me and you are. The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. He stays from Pentecost to the rapture. All of that's church. Church age. Church age. Church age. Those Old Testament saints were not a part of the bride of Christ. They will be guests at the wedding of the bride of Christ meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, His plan was the start of the church. And I'm going to tell you some good news tonight. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it looks, whatever the Lord starts, the Lord finishes. When He begins something, brother, He makes it good. Whatever He does forever. And whatever He does right. And whatever He starts, He finishes it. You want the Bible? Philippians. The Bible said over there in the book of Philippians, He that begun a good work in you, chapter 1 and verse 6, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Many a times I thought I was going down, y'all. Many a time I thought I ain't going to make it. And the devil says, you're crazy. You ain't going to make it. And I held on to that verse. I said, He that begun a good work in me, I didn't do it. I didn't start this thing. He did it. I'm depending on Him, thank God, to get me through and on home. I ain't strong enough. I heard a man say one time, he said, well, Brother Danny, you've got all this willpower. And I mean, I have got a lot of will, but not enough to live for God. Not enough to stand the ultimate test. I ain't got enough strength to do it. I'm dependent on the One that started in me at Nebo Baptist Church to carry it on and finish it one day when I stand before Him. You'd better depend on Him too. He'll finish what He started. Number three, He'll free His people from death's sting. You know what He'll do? He'll free His people from death's sting. Amen. I'm telling you something, brother. You hear me this evening? If the Lord come right now, we would cheat death. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people get all hung up on Hebrews 9:27's point of a man wants to die. That's not a doctrinal statement that says everybody has to die. There's an exception. Enoch never died. Sure didn't. And never will. Man tried to make Enoch one of the two witnesses in Revelation 11 because Enoch never died. You can't do it. Moses and Elijah. Some people in the Bible died twice. Lazarus died twice. Eutychus died twice. The widow of Nain's son died twice. Dorcas died twice. It's appointed a man wants to die. It's not a doctrine. It's a general. It's a principle. Unless God does something special. Enoch never did die. And I will tell you something tonight. If the rapture hit tonight, you and I'd leave here without ever dying. Never will die. Never will die. You know what you call that? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what I'm giving you. Amen. He'll free His people from death's sting. Listen, if the Lord come tonight, we would never die. You never would die. That's what Jesus said when He said to them, Mary and Martha that time. They said, well, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. And He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me, rapture, shall never die. That's right. That's to free God's people from the sting of death. Number four, you know why the Lord must return? To fall the plan of Satan. You know, to break his stronghold. I have people ask me this all the time, and I'm going to just give you my answer that I always give them. I have people say, Brother Danny, the devil knows the Bible, right? He sure does. He knows it by heart, right? Sure does. Devil knows the Bible better than anybody except the Lord. And they say, if the devil knows all this stuff and he knows Revelation and it said he's going to be cast in the lake of fire, why does he still do what? Because, here's why. Number one, because God is sovereign and God saw what was going to happen before it happened and wrote it before. That's what prophecy is, history written in advance. And the other thing is, the devil is so crooked, he still thinks he's going to win. Somehow or another, he's so evil that he thinks, I'm going to thwart God's plan. I'll get him off the throne. I'll get the United Nations together, and I'll get the United States and China and Japan, and we'll beat him. I think the devil really believes that he's going to win somehow in the end. But guess what? God's going to have the final word, and he will fall the plan of Satan. Brother, he may kill every one of us, but God's going to have him down at the last. He'll bind him, cast him in the lake of fire, and he'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He'll fall the plan of Satan. Amen? You know, we're being squeezed. There were some people wanted choose life on their tag, license plate, and the state of North Carolina, the government wouldn't let them put it on there. Two words, non-offensive, they make cuss words. That's not profanity. Choose life. And they wouldn't let them put it on there. What about that? You know why? Because the government wants that abortion money. And the abortionists have put the pressure on. Someone from the DNC, Democratic National Convention, got on the news the other night when they was talking about that Planned Parenthood video, and they said, this is an attack on women's rights. And the world will swallow that up. Listen, you ain't got no brain and you can't listen and you can't discern truth if you think them trying to take up for babies is an attack on women's rights. What's that got to do with women's rights? A woman should have the right to choose. You got the right to choose not to get pregnant. Won't you take that choice? You got the right to choose where you want to eat, what you want to do, what you want to wear, where you want to go. Lord, you've got all the rights in the world. You do not have enough right to kill your child. You know what I just gave you? Level-headed thinking, and the world can't think like that. They say, well, you're pro-life, we're pro-choice. No, we're pro-life, you're pro-death. We believe in letting it live, you believe in killing it. You know what I just gave you? Level-headed thinking. You don't get that on the news. The plan of Satan. Finally, and I'm through, the final punishment of sinners. Revelation chapter 19 talks about the great white throne judgment. Sad day for a sinner. Sad day for a sinner. Sad day for a sinner. You know what? There's an old song in here. I don't even know if it, I think it's in this book. I think it's called The Great Judgment Morning. And it's here, I thought, what's the name of that song, y'all? I Dreamed of the Great Judgment Morning. 208. How did you know that, Jessica? 208. Amen. That's right. The rest of y'all heathens sitting there talking. That's it. You don't see that in most churches, that the teenagers answer the question like that. Amen. It says, I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed, this, it's not exactly doctrinally correct, but listen, that the nations had gathered to the judgment before the great white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea, and swore with his hand to heaven, time no longer would be. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Ah, my. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. A pauper he stood in the judgment. His debts was too heavy to pay. Movie stars. Rich people. Standing there a beggar. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death has come, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountain. They prayed, their prayer was too late. The widow was there with the orphans. God heard and remembered their cries. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there and the drunkard and the man that sold them the drink. Look at that. With the people who gave him the license, together in hell, they did sink. Son, the shoe's going to be on the other foot one of these days, people. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The men that had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time to think of religion. At last, they did find time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing. As the lost were told of their fate, they cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Jesus is coming for the final punishment. Sinners, let's stand by our heads for prayer. Head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.